الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. If you see how human beings have been created, there's a very natural part of the human being that desires the company of other human beings. That's why they say in sociology that human beings are social animals, meaning that there is an almost innate need within the individual to consort with others, to talk with others, to spend time with others. And they find it very difficult to be by themselves. Now, one thing that a person should bear in mind, that if you look in the deen, everything in the deen is made in such a way that it doesn't negate the fitrah of the individual, but it redirects it in a way which is conducive, which is beneficial for that individual both in this life and the hereafter. So Islam doesn't necessarily tell an individual never be angry, because there are being angry as part of being a human being, but it does tell you when you need to be angry and when you should not be angry. So it provides that guidance, that direction to those things which make us human. And so if we look at our own lives, right, or look at our own selves, and we realize that there is this need for us to interact with another, to have the companionship of another, then we understand that Islam could not conceivably negate this aspect of the individual, of the human being, nor does it. But sometimes that's sort of hard to wrap our mind around, especially when we see so much emphasis, for example, or perhaps in the field of tazkiyah, when people are trying to get close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when people are trying to forge a relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when do we say that, no, you should limit the amount of time that you spend with people, that you should limit the amount of time that you interact with others, you should limit, you know, the amount of time that you may spend or waste hanging out with others, just shooting the breeze. And by doing this, what we call khalwa, sort of, you know, cutting yourself out from others, that makes one more conducive to develop a connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So how does that fit into the picture? And then you look at Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he spent, you know, so much time in Tahannuth, in the cave of Hira, before he actually received the revelation. You look at Musa alayhi salam, he spent so much time on the mountain, so on and so forth. Right? So 40 days, Musa alayhi salam also spent a certain amount of time, you know, if you could say, in seclusion. So how does that fit in? Well, the answer is actually in just what I said. That when a person is trying to seek to make a relationship with Allah, you're not cutting off all relations, you're actually making a relationship. Right, so Islam is directing a person's sort of innate need for companionship, for closeness, for conversation, and directing it initially towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala azawajal. And when a person develops this type of relationship, and they fall really in love with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and become close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then basically all other relationships pale in comparison. Because who could be more beautiful than Allah? And who could be more giving than Allah? And who can be more fulfilling to be in a relationship with than Allah? I mean, He's the best. He is the most kamil. He is the most. He has the most jamal. He has the most nawal. He has the most everything. And so, if He is the epitome of perfection, then why would anyone want to be in any relationship other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So Islam directs an individual, and then after that, for example, then a person reforms the relationship with other individuals in the community for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So any time a person loves another person, any time a person interacts with another individual, but he does so because this is what Allah wants, not necessarily because what they want. So that's the first basic principle. But then a person thinks that, but I don't feel that relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's why I need to have friends, I need to do all these other things, because I'm not close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so does enters the whole field of what we call wilaya, of developing a friendship. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in His holy book, Allahu waliyu alladhina amanu. Right, this is one of the things that we read actually every week, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the friend of those who believe. So one way to become Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's friend is just by to simply say, La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah. When a person bears testimony that there is no God but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he bears testimony truly that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his final messenger, then as soon as they say that, they become to a certain degree a friend of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is a friendship that is forged by just saying those words. Now, a person might say that, you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is so great, and he's giving us such a great friendship for me doing so little, just because I said that kalima, he becomes my friend. If we look at ourselves, we see that it's something so small that we're giving forward. But we don't see on the other side how beautiful of a friend Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is, how Rahim He is, how wonderful of a being He is, that He takes even the rags that we present before Him and He accepts it even though He has no need to. Right? It's His beauty, His grandeur, His greatness that He even chooses to have any type of, you know, relation. Actually, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He's ghani, we're faqir. He's Samad. He is in need of no one, and we are in need of Him. So He doesn't have to have a friendship for us, with us. He doesn't have to have a relationship with us. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's rahmah is so great, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's love is so great, that He desires to give us something nice. Right? He desires us to have the opportunity to know Him, to develop a relationship with Him, and that's why He's allowed that door to be open, to have a connection with Him, to have a relationship with Him. So this general level, and there's very clear signs actually even in the Quran that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala truly loves those who believe. And I'll give you a very simple example, that they say that one of the signs that you're in love with another individual is that you take anything small that person gives you and you deem it as something great. And you take anything big that you give to them and you deem it as something small. So for example, if there's someone that you really, 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 really love, and they even buy you, you know, a $2 trinket, since it came from someone who so beloved to you, you see it as such a great thing. And even though you might have spent years and years and years trying to, you know, giving them things and working for them, if you really love them, you say that, you know, I have not really done much for you. This is a sign of love. And this is exactly what's borne out in the Quran. Because on the one hand, we know that the ni'mah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is so much, so much, so much, that we can never count them. إِن تَعُدُّوا نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ لَا تُحْصُوهَا. You'll never be able to encompass the ni'mah of Allah. But at the same time, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala refers to those things, that He's given us our food, our water, our drink, our shelter, our clothes, all these things, He says, قُلْ مَتَاعُ الدُّنْيَا قَلِيلٌ. Say the things of the world, they're just qaleel, just a little bit. So we know that from His side, He gave so much. But He considered so much that He gave us, He said, Qaleel, it's just a little bit. But then from our side, I mean, we know how much dhikr that we do, right? And we know how much time we spend in the ibadah of Allah. But what word did He use about those people in the 22nd juz? Innal muslimina wal muslimat, wal mu'minina wal mu'minat, wal qanitina wal qanitat, wal sadiqina wal sadiqat, wal sa'imina wal sa'imat, wal hafidhina furujahum wal hafidhat, wal dhakirina Allah kathira. And those who remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala kathira. No matter how much, even if a person prays 5 times a day, how many rakats is that? 17 rakats. Right? Even if you sit and we do a lot of zikr, right, and you consider ourselves hardcore, what is it going to be? For most people, it's not going to exceed 1,000 times of maybe La ilaha illallah a day. Right? For those 1,000 times that a person does for a couple of years in their life, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, that's kathir. So when it comes from our side, He considers it as kathir. And when it came from His side, He considered it as qadir. So at least from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's side, it seems very clear that there's so much love that He has for His slaves. Not because we deserve it, but because He's Allah. Because He's Allah. That's just who He is. He's that awesome. So this type of wilaya, it is a type of wilaya. It's what we call wilaya ta'amma. It's like a general wilaya that all the Muslims share. But if you have ever sort of joined a club, right, there's something, they have different levels in the club. So they have a general membership. That general membership, sometimes they keep the cost very low so that anyone can join. Right? They have this Fitness Planet or something that people pay $10 a month and then anyone can go. So it's open to anyone. But within that, there are sometimes these special levels. So there's the premier membership, and there's the gold membership, and then there's the elite membership, and then there's the super elite membership. And the price for each one keeps on going up, going up, going, going up, going up, so much so that when you get to the highest level, you have the most exclusive benefits. Sometimes when people who travel a lot, sometimes you pass by these lounges, right, the Admiral Lounge or the Executive Lounge. You say, oh man, those lounges are for millionaires. Right? That's for a different group of people. That's not for normal people like us. In the same way, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created the general membership, which we call Wilayat Amma, but there's also what we call the gold or executive membership. And this is what we call Wilayat Khasa. This is a special membership Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives. And generally when we use the term wali or friend of Allah and these type of things, this refers to the special type of membership. And when you really think about it, very righteous people, very good people, people who are, you know, very have this connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is what we call wilayat khasa. Now the amazing thing about this wilayat khasa, that as opposed to nubuwa, which is prophethood, nubuwa is something which is wahabi. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives it to whom He wills. Sort of this is relinquished to the realm of Allah. He can give it to whomever He wants. But on the other hand, when you talk about wilayat khasa, this is something which we call kasabi. This is something that you can earn. That if you earn, you can actually gain admittance. It's very similar to that type of membership. If you are ready to pay enough, you can also gain admission to that special type of class. In the same way, if you are willing to pay enough in terms of giving of yourself, if you're willing to pay enough in terms of giving sacrifice for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, giving up things for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then you can also earn the gold membership. And when you have the gold membership, there's very special benefits that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives to those individuals. Very special type of benefits. Now, even in this gold membership, there are two subcategories. One we call wilayati sughra, and one we call wilayati kubra. So you can say, you know, level A and then, you know, upper level. Like this is super size. So in the somewhat lower level, of this is still wilayat khasa. This is still the gold membership, but even in that, there's a gradation. So for example, you know, people who rent these very expensive hotels, if you really want to get the penthouse, they only give one penthouse in the whole hotel. Right? That whole floor is sort of set aside for the very special person. So the very high level is what we call wilayati kubra, or what the highest wilaya, or the greater wilaya. And the other one we call wilayati sughra. So how do you get even into this first level? How do you even earn this to get into the gold membership? So what do you think you have to do? Right? You have to do, you know, spend 30 years. You have to do, you know, La ilaha illallah 100,000 times, 1 million times, salawat 1 million times. You know, how much ibadah do you have to do before you actually enter into the gold membership? The interesting answer is that you don't necessarily have to do a lot of ibadah. Right? Well, that's actually contrary to everything that we sort of think about in terms of being righteous. Anytime we think about someone being righteous, we think about how many good deeds the person does. But that's not how you actually earn it, the special membership. The way you actually earn the special membership is by leaving the bad things. The wali of Allah, the special friend of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is that person who accepts all the orders of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has told a person to stay away from, he stays away from that. He or she stays away from that thing. When a person reaches a certain amount of consistency in this, they're able to control their eyes, they're able to control their ears, they're able to control their gaze, they're able to control their tongue, they're able to control their limbs, they're able to control their heart. Right? So they stop feeling hasad for other individuals, they stop hating others, they start having bughd, they start having kibar in themselves. When the person is able to save themselves from the major sins, or the sins, both outwardly and inwardly, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants the person what we call wilayat sukhra. And generally, I mean, when we talk about the lessons of tazkiyah and tasawwuf, you know, there's several lessons that a person travels through and gets advanced as more and more of the sharia comes into the person's life. Generally, at a certain lesson, a person actually gets this wilayah. Their award, I mean, it's not always linear, and a person will understand that the whole science of tasawwuf and tazkiyah is not linear. But generally speaking, when a person reaches a certain lesson, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants them this type of friendship with him, this type of connection, this type of relationship. And when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told Ibrahim alayhi salam, now, was Ibrahim alayhi salam Allah's friend? Of course he was. And the proof is in the Quran. وَاتَّخَذَ اللَّهُ إِبْرَاهِيمَ خَلِيلًا. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took Ibrahim as his khalil. Now this is so amazing, actually. I didn't even think about this earlier. But how beautiful Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is. That if you ever have to make friend with someone, it should really be someone like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because He is so beautiful, such a beautiful friend. Even we don't have adab, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even though He has no need to have adab, He shows His love, His colors, His beauty from His side. He keeps up what we call the taqada, the requirements of true friendship. Right? A true friend, whenever you need them, they're there. Whenever you call to them, they hear you. Whenever you need support, they give you the support that you need. I mean, the true friend is the one who you can completely be dependent on, and the one who truly loves you, regardless of yourself. Whether you fall short, whether you don't fall short, whether you're strong or whether you're weak, regardless of what it is from your side, from the other side, a true friend is always there for you. Right? They say that, you know, if you want to know your true friend, look at who's around you in hard times. And really, you know, when you get into hard times, often we find that there's no one around us. That's why we go to the masjid at those hard times. And who's the first one that we call to? Say, Ya Allah. That's the first person that we go to. We're the one who turned away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then when the whole world turns away from us, we go to the one person who we turned away from, and he's still there waiting. He still keeps that door open. And so it's so amazing in the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't say that you are my friend. Right? Look at even the words that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says. He says, I am your friend. Allahu waliyul ladhina amanu. No, such a big difference actually. Right? If a wife, right, or someone that a person loves, she says to the person who loves her that you love me, that makes the person feel good that at least they acknowledge my love. But if they say, I love you, that's very different. Right? That puts a person on cloud nine. This is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying. Allahu waliyul ladhina amanu. If you believe, you have this first level of wilaya. But then look at the higher levels when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even at that time, He didn't say that Ibrahim was my khalil. That's not what Allah says. Look at how beautiful Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, fulfills the relationship from His side. He says, وَاتَّخَذَ اللَّهُ إِبْرَاهِيمَ خَلِيلًا. And Allah took, meaning the initiation is coming from Allah's side. Now anyone who has sort of, you know, looked at the psychology of relationships, a lot of relationships are very complicated because this whole guardedness that people put up these walls. They're very careful of letting someone come inside their heart because they're saying the other person might hurt them. It's very hard for the first time for a person to ever say I love you to a person that they have feelings for, because they think that what if I say I love you to other person and the other person doesn't say I love you back? There's no reciprocity. They're very afraid of putting themselves and sacrificing themselves, because what if the other person is not able to, you know, respond in kind? So a very guarded relationship. But from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's side, it's such a safe relationship. Look at even when He's talking about Ibrahim alayhi salam, He doesn't say that Ibrahim, that you are my friend, or Ibrahim was the friend of Allah. He said, وَاتَّخَذَ اللَّهُ إِبْرَاهِيمَ خَلِيلًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took Ibrahim as His friend. What is the reality? We are the ones who want to be friends with Allah. Allah has no need to be our friends. But when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted to describe that, He said, Allah took him as a friend. He says that, I want to be your friend. Or Allah chose you to be your friend. Subhanallah, this is the irada, the khair, this is the mahabba, this is the rahmah, this is the fadl of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala azza wa jal. So how does a person, so when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told Ibrahim alayhi salam, إِذْ قَالَ لَهُ رَبُّهُ أَسْلِمْ قال أسلمت لله رب العالمين. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told him, submit yourself. And if I tell you not to do something, you will not do it. If I tell you to do something, you will do it. And then Ibrahim alayhi salam, he said, أسلمت لله رب العالمين. My neck is before you, Ya Allah. My life is in your hands. Whatever you want, I will do that. This type of submission in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala earned him the title of Khalilullah, the friend of Allah. So if you think of all of tazkiyah or all of tasawwuf and all of spiritual purification, it's actually just a moment when a person with true sincerity of heart, the heart becomes so purified that you can say the words, but the words resound with ikhlas, with purity and sincerity of intention, that Ya Allah, I'm yours. When a person gives everything up and really gives themselves to Allah, then relationship forms. That's wilayah. So that's the first level of wilayah. And what we call istiqamah ala tarki ma'asi, that you become firm on leaving all these type of sin. So a person doesn't have to stay up every single night. A person doesn't have to pray tahajjud necessarily every single night. A person doesn't have to read a whole Quran every single day. Although many of the awliya do these type of things. But at the same time, you don't have to do all these things. You can still go to university, you can still become a doctor, you can still have a job, you can do all of these things. But at every single point in time, you're always worried that I should not disobey Allah. When a person reaches this constant state, then he gets this gold membership with Allah. Then there's one level above that. And the level above that is that for most Muslims, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells them not to do it, they cannot necessarily stop themselves from doing that. Although they have been righteous people in our time, where the angels who write the bad deeds, they would have to wait 20 years before they could write something. There are those examples too in the Ummah. But for most Muslims, right, our battle is when Allah told us not to do something and we're doing that. That's our battle. There are some people who are staying away from that, the things Allah told us not to stay, still our heart desires to do that. For example, a person keeps a beard. But inside it's very hard. They also sometimes want to look like everyone else. A person maybe controls their gaze, but inside they want to look. It's hard. No, a person prays 5 times a day. When they're praying, their heart is not in it. If they had a chance, they would not pray. Right? If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them a chutti, right, gave them a vacation, I say, man, whew, that's awesome. I don't have to pray. A person forces themselves to pray the sunnah. But when the first time they go on vacation, they say, oh, alhamdulillah, you know, I'm on vacation now, I don't have to pray my sunnah. And then they said, okay, I only have to pray 2 rakah, and they feel happy about it. Meaning that the religion is a burden on them in some way. Now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is really His rahmah. Only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can have this. That He tells someone to do it, they do it even though, but they do so grudgingly, but He still accepts that, and He says, you're still my special friend. Any one of us, if someone, we tell them to do something and they're doing grudgingly, they're like, man, I don't even need that. Just, you keep it to yourself. Right? We have so much pride, so much, you know, ghira, that I forget you. You don't have to do that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has the most ghira. He has the least need for us. But His rahmah is so much that it even overcomes His ghira. He says, still He accepts His slaves good. But there comes to a certain time in a person's life, by keeping the company of the righteous, by making so much dhikr and so many good deeds, that eventually they love to do good deeds. And they hate everything that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hates. Al-hubbu fillahi wal-bughdu fillah. That if a person puts a dirty picture in front of a person, they see it as something dirty. They don't, their heart doesn't even feel like looking at it. They would much, if you put a bad picture in front of them and you put the Quran in front of them, they'd much rather be looking at the Quran. They get more happiness from that. If you give them a piece of news or a newspaper or something like that and they look at that, and you give them the hadith to read, they much rather read the hadith because that gives more pleasure to them than that. If you give them a cell phone that they can call their friends, or you give them a chance to pray 2 rakat nafil and talk to Allah, they'd rather pray the nafil because they get more excitement and more pleasure in that. This higher level where you take pleasure in the deen and that you abhor everything that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not like is what we call the stage of wilayat kubra. I'll give you one story and we'll close. There's one of our mashayikh, Maulana Gongohi, I think. He was a Maulana where Haji Imdadullah, and the question was asked, that after you took the bay'ah, right, meaning after you entered into the field of tazkiyah and tasawwuf, what changes did you see in your life? What change did you see in your life? So he listed three changes, which are actually very deep. He said that one of the changes that I've seen in my life is that when I used to... these were very great scholars. Scholars of amazing caliber. I mean, you read some of their writings and you're still scratching your head, what are they saying? One of the things I experienced is that when I used to go through my academic studies, I used to see a lot of contradictions, and I used to have a lot of objections that would arise. And we used to see this a lot, right? When we were going through this hadith, the Rasulullah said this and that, and then we're thinking, well, logically, what about this? And logically, what about that? And logically, this happens in life. And technically, this. And actually, technically, Rasulullah said this over there. So how does that fit with it? So all these quote-unquote objections start coming out. Most people will not relate with this because we don't study the deen. But when you really get academic about it, then you're like, okay, let's look at this objectively. And all these things come up. And he said, I used to find a lot of contradictions. He said, after I entered into this field, all of these contradictions sort of defaced themselves. I no longer had these objections coming up in my heart. So he said, okay, that's fine. He says, what is the second thing that you experienced? He said that inside, I began to dislike whatever the Sharia disliked. For example, if a person, Sharia did not like for us to waste, then he also internally disliked wastefulness. If the Sharia didn't like for a person to look at people of the opposite gender, internally he also started to dislike that. He said, okay, that's fine. And then he said, what is the third thing? And that he said that I stopped caring what people think, whether they praise me or they dispraise me, I started speaking the truth. Right? I would just say what had to be said. And then the Shaykh, he said, Subhanallah, Mubarak to you, he said that there are three aspects in the deen. There is ilm, there is amal, and there is ikhlas. Ilm, amal, and ikhlas. He said the epitome of amal, of ilm, is one reaches that level of knowledge where there ceases to be any contradiction within the deen. When one is able to reconcile all the primary texts, he said, "This is the epitome of having mastery over knowledge," and this is true actually not only in Islamic sciences but also in other fields as well. That when you reach a certain level, then you are able to reconcile these differences. A low level of knowledge is when a person thinks that there are no contradictions. The higher level of knowledge, when a person really gets deep in the field, is for example medicine or science, then understand how little that we know and how we don't know anything and everything contradicts. And a very firm footing in knowledge is when you can reconcile that and construct a coherent narrative to explain that existential reality. Same thing in the deen. So he said this is the epitome of knowledge. And he said the epitome of amal is when you dislike whatever the Sharia dislikes. And he said the epitome of ikhlas, the kamil, having kamil or perfect ikhlas, is when an individual stops caring whether or not something is good, or people like it or don't like it. He doesn't care whether they praise him or they dispraise him, that he just, I mean, that doesn't, it's, they're equal to him. When a person reaches this level, that's the kamal of ikhlas, and subhanAllah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you all three. Right, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you all three. So, I guess some take-home points is to first understand that a person can develop a very close relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and developing a close relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't necessarily mean that you have to give up everything that's in your life, but it does mean that you have to give up those things which are sinful. You can still talk to people, you can still meet with people, you can still go on with your life, you can do the things that normal people do. But you have to be very careful, very, very, very careful to make sure that you don't slip up any way that you would disobey Allah. And that takes taqwa. Taqwa is not avoiding sin, it's being far from sin. Right? I'll give you an example. A person who stays up a person knows that he has difficulty going to Fajr Salah in the masjid or getting up for Fajr Salah. So that person, he says that he keeps his alarm every single day and he says, I'm going to get up at this time. That's one approach, right? That's one approach. That's avoiding sin because you're keeping the alarm. But that's not taqwa. Taqwa is saying that I'm usually so tired, that's why I'm not able to get up. I'm going to go to sleep at 8 o'clock, right? I'm not even sleepy. I'm going to force myself to sleep, so I sleep so much that I don't want to sleep anymore, that I'm going to get up, right? You're doing something that you don't necessarily have to, but you're keeping yourself far from sin. And that, when a person gets that taqwa, actually look at the Quran, what it says. In awliya'uhu illa al-muttaqoon. His awliya are not those except those who have taqwa. So if you want to avoid sin, you can't just avoid sin. You have to make yourself far from sin. And when you make yourself far from sin, then you will not be in sin. And when you will not be in sin, then you will have the wilayah of Allah. Right? That's the general algorithm. So we pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants us His wilayah, that He always keeps us with wilayah al-amma, and He grants us wilayah al-khasa, that He grants us wilayah al-sughra, and more so that He grants us with all of us wilayah al-kubra, and always keep us as His friend until our dying day, and we have the opportunity to see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the akhirah, that we have the opportunity to be with the anbiya in the akhirah. Wa akhiru da'wana an alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. So inshallah, spend some time and thicker. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Salawat. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم حسبنا الله ونعم الوكيل بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم صلوات بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا خفي اللطفي أدركني بلطفك الخفي بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم صلوات بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم صلوات بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. لا إله إلا أنت سبحانك إني كنت من الظالمين. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. صلوات بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا حي يا قيوم برحمتك أستغيث. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. صلوات بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ربي لا تذرني فردا وأنت خير الوارثين. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. صلوات بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إنا لله والله ذو فضل على المؤمنين. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. صلوات بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إنا لله وإنا إليه راجعون. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. صلوات بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الله ولي الذين آمنوا. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. صلوات. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. والله ولي المؤمنين. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. صلوات. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم وراقب. لا إله إلا الله محمد رسول الله. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم.